public.
My guest on this week's one-on-one is Helena Baker, one of the Czech Republic's leading experts on wine. Helena has visited wine regions across Europe and also the United States and South Africa. She's taken part in dozens of international wine tasting competitions, and in 2001 she co-founded a female circle of wine lovers called Ladies of Wine. She's also the author of several guides to wine available in Czech and English. I recently met her in a wine cellar at the launch of her new guide to wine and winemaking in the Czech Republic and asked her when she first became interested in wine.
I think there came a time when I realized that wine was also for pleasure, not for drinking, and I decided I was going to learn something about the contents of a bottle rather than just emptying it.
Now, wine and wine tasting is traditionally something of a man's world. What's it like being a woman in the traditionally male world of wine?
I don't think it's only for men. There are increasingly now more women amongst the tasters, because I taste wine competitions around the world. And also, it is said that women have better nose than men.
Wine tasting has also been described, by some people at least, as a rather pretentious way to spend one's time. Can you really tell the difference between wines beyond red, white, dry, sweet, good, bad?
Yes, of course. I can just show you here two samples which are quite characteristic.
Right, so we've got some wines in front of us. What do we have here?
The first sample is a great variety called Sauvignon Blanc. In the Czech Republic, they just call it Sauvignon. It's a white grape variety, originally comes from Bordeaux. And its characteristic is when the wine is young, it is reminiscent of nettles, freshly mown grass, gooseberries, even cat's pee on a gooseberry bush, some say. When it's mature, it could remind us of ripe peaches.
So talk me through the actual tasting. What do you do first when you taste a wine?
Well, first of all, you look at the wine. So you judge what it's called appearance. So you have the clarity and the colour and any other things you can see in the glass, like in English it's called legs. In French, they call them cuisses. You can see little bubbles. You know, in white wine, which is young, it will be straw color, maybe with greenish tinges. And if the white wine is mature, it could be deeper and darker into, it can be amber, even brown, tawny, or sometimes even black, like a Spanish fortified wine made from Pedro Jimenez, a great variety.
So how would you describe this wine we have in front of us?
Well, it's I would say it's pale straw in appearance. On the nose, the second characteristic of wine we examine is its smell or nose. Where, as I said, in this great variety, it is gooseberry-ish, a little grassy, but also some sort of yellow fruit. I was told this was a vintage 2004, so there is a certain maturity on it, so we can detect the white or yellow fruit aroma on it.
The Czechs, of course, are a nation of beer drinkers. Do you think that's beginning to change now?
I think so, because you can't drink beer with everything, and certainly in all those quantities, how they used to here. So I think wine is now becoming the drink to enjoy yourself with.
Not seen as too elitist?
No, I don't think so. I think in this country there are areas which have traditionally been wine regions, although if you go to Moravia and you end up in a Moravian wine cellar, and when the tasting is finished, the majority of the winemakers end up in a local pub having a pint.
Something of an irony there.
They say, it's not really, but they say because the wine, and especially local wines, are quite refreshing, and they have kriti, to have a pint of Pilsner balances it out, because Pilsner Urquell is not acidic, you know, it sort of balances the pH.
Fascinating. Now, what about Czech wines? My French friends usually turn their noses up when they're given a glass of Miller Turgau or other Czech wines. Are they being snobbish, or does Czech wine really belong to the second division of the World League of Wines?
I have a friend in London who came to Prague, and everybody told her, you know, you're going to Prague, don't drink wine, drink beer. But she was pleasantly surprised when she came, and I took her to places where she could drink decent wine.
You're here to promote your new book, The New Guide to Wine and Winemaking in the Czech Republic, 2006. Where should people go for the best wine in the Czech Republic?
I think they should go to wine bars or places called vinotecas, definitely, because they have the best selection of wines. And ordinary pubs and restaurants will probably have a liter bottle with a plastic cork on it, and this is a sign where you should drink beer and not wine.
And within the Czech Republic, where are the best areas for wines?
I think there are altogether about 500 hectares around Prague, and the rest, I think at 2005 count, it was 18,000 hectares on the Slovak-Austrian borders. In Moravia, obviously, the climate is generally warmer, and the grape varieties are similar to those grown in neighboring Austria, like Grüneveltliner, Welschriesling, which can ripen to magnificent levels of sugar, grape sugar, and can produce wines of higher attributes, maybe the equivalent of the German Bärenauslese or Trockenbärenauslese even. Recently, the Moravian winemakers started making straw wine and ice wine, which is quite popular and becoming quite known even outside the borders.
One tip for your all-time absolute favorite Czech wine. Put you on the spot now.
I have two favorites at the moment. It's a winery called Springer, or his brother Stapleton Springer. And another one is called Dobrá Vinice, where the winemakers make wines in the style of his friend from Slovenia, who is quite famous even abroad. And the Springer brothers, they make wines reminiscent to wines of Burgundy, white and reds. And their father actually looks after the vineyards, and he tends to it every day. You know, the vineyard is actually his baby. And if you see their grapes and, you know, how healthy and ripe they are, they have to make very good wine, because it is a saying, you can't make good wine from poor grapes.
Right, that's a fine note on which to end. Helena Baker, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.